Speaking of reliability, friends talking about reliability engineering topics. Let's discuss how to create and improve your reliability program and your career.
Hi, this is Adam Barrett.
And Fred Trankelberg. Welcome to Speaking of Reliability.
Hey, Fred, I'm glad we got a chance to talk today. We have a fun topic that actually I was planning, and then you and I were having a previous conversation, and it came up. So I was like, well, perfect. We're already ready to go. So let's hit record.
Okay. Well, yeah, I already did. We are recording.
Good.
It's one of those things. I need an idea. We were talking about how do you create ideas. I need a way that halfway through the webinar, I don't get that panic moment that, did I hit record?
You know, yes,
I do that all the time. And so with close to 400 episodes on Speaking of Reliability, by the way, thank you, Adam, for being with me right from the start and helping make this show what it is. And we're getting better at starting the record before we dive into the topic. Remember our very first ones? We'd sit down and go, well, what do we want to talk about? And then we come up with all the ideas, and then we just dive into one of them and half hour later going, oh, we should have recorded that.
Yeah, exactly. We kind of felt like we had to script it out, which defeated the purpose. And then that's when we had part of our conversation where I very firmly was like, have you ever listened to Car Talk in Boston with Click and Clack? And you know, that the whole thing of where they just would hit record. I don't even think they really had nothing planned, and they just would talk, and so enjoyable compared to, you know, a planned interview or something. And so I'm glad we've stuck with that.
And, we hear feedback all the time that it's working great, you know, and we're getting more comments. I recorded a couple of shows from listeners' input last week with Chris Jackson. And so I should mention that if you as a listener do have an idea, and we're going to talk about creating ideas today a little bit, is for a topic or a show, excuse me, head over to ascendoreliability.com/go/SOR. And there's a couple different ways on that page for you to provide your insights or ideas or suggestions. And we'd love to hear from you. Now, Adam, you know, when you first mentioned the topic for today of creating ideas, I remember working for a manager that didn't get that idea of that you can create ideas. It didn't dawn on him that was possible. And I didn't quite fathom that. And he walked into my office one day and asked, where do you get ideas? Because I would have project ideas and solution ideas all the time. And I said, they're everywhere. And he goes, what do you mean? And I picked up a trade magazine that was sitting on my desk and flipped it open to a page. And it had a picture of some surface mount placement equipment, right? Some electronic assembly equipment piece on it. And I go, what if we could solve this problem? What if we could find out how to improve this part? What if we could increase its uptime? What if we could, you know, here's 5 or 10 ideas for projects that our group could do. And he goes, stop. We don't have time for all those things.
right. Totally missed the point. And it's, you know, it's interesting too. And the reason I wanted to talk about it, and I think I'm going to write a little bit about it too, is there's almost, you know, two streams of thought you have going on all the time. You have your very conscious, you know, forward part of your mind that's thinking very logically and, you know, managing your day and your tasks and whatever.
Mostly it's about where's my coffee?
Where's my keys? And then you have one that I think it's right underneath there, and it's very freeform. And so many books that I've read that discuss how to come up with ideas or solve problems, the really one consistent thing that comes across is find a way to shut off the front stream, and the back stream will, you know, when you start to pay attention to that, you're going to find so much of it in there.
Well, there's, you know, you're talking about techniques or tools where people say, frame, identify the problem, and then go for a walk or take a shower or
that's one of the things.
Right. Or do brainstorming or do free writing or do these other things to get as many ideas, good, bad, and indifferent out as possible.
No, I'm going a little bit different. That is one thing, to go for that volume and then sort it, then bring all those to your logical side and whatever. I'm talking about letting it follow its own path and letting it solve the problem or create the idea. So when you're done with it, you do have that singular idea to pursue. Mm-hmm. Not that you have 1,000 now to sort through. I think what you were describing, and tell me if I'm wrong, is that idea of like the way to generate a ton of ideas, you know, is to do this method. And it's almost like you told a team to go off and generate a bunch of ideas, and then they come back to your logical side and you start sorting through them. Is that what you were describing?
Yeah, my manager, with the team I was working on, had a annual two different brainstorming activities. One was to create project ideas for the companies, the internal HP divisions that we worked with. So what do we hear and know from our divisions, the people we work with, that we could propose as something we could do for them? And then they would sort it out. And then another part was R&D ideas, stuff that we wanted to spend our own time on to develop a new service or project or whatever. And they mistakenly gave a cash award for whoever came up with the most ideas. And I was up to like 1,300 or something like that. And I lost. The woman next to me, Helen, she's a master at creating ideas. She's just right. Puts me to shame. And so my boss, both me and Helen, or myself and Helen, had to downsort those to go into the meetings to figure it out. And so he was given the task, the unenviable task of dealing with this deluge of ideas. Right. So that was great.
Yeah. I mean, a couple of sources, like one is, I mean, my good friend, and he's my writing mentor, Mark Levy. He wrote the book Accidental Genius. Mm-hmm. And he's a writer, and he also does marketing positioning. And in Accidental Genius, he talks about using these different techniques like free writing, and he actually has come up with some interesting ways to actually pinpoint in what you're doing when you have switched to that other path. Mm-hmm. And he's interesting. He's like, if you're doing free writing with a pen, he's like, you actually can see your handwriting changes when you switch to the other path. He's I can go up to people and point to it, you know, visibly. And the other thing is, so some other ones, I just want to share some other ones I found, and they're relatively simple. Mm-hmm. One I found is when I'm driving, listening to a lot of music and then turning it off. And what happens is my mind's, when you listen to music and you're driving, you kind of do go into a little bit of an autonomous mode of listening, and this kind of like, it's almost like a meditation thing, right? To some degree, where something's happening that you're focusing on.
I am definitely not getting in the car with you driving.
I didn't say I'm meditating. I said that there's a nature. It is a bit scary how much we drive autonomously ourselves. I mean, I know we've all gotten to somewhere and been like, I don't remember driving here, you know.
Or the route or the details. But,
yeah, exactly.
But you're exactly right. It's what you're describing is clearing the head. You're clearing your mind. You're being open.
Again, I was going to describe it differently. Okay. Stimulating that part. So what I was going to say with the music thing is you're not clearing it. There's something going on when you're listening to music and you're enjoying it, and maybe you're singing along somewhere in the back of your head. And then I turn the music off, and that same kind of energy is still going, and mm-hmm. it just picks up another task to do it with. And I'm always kind of surprised how when I get to the end of my journey, I'm like, crap, I got to write this down. Yep. Even not knowingly, I've done that. So it doesn't take much to do it. And I find that what I'm hoping to help people with is, so many times we want ideas and we sit down at our desk and we're like, okay, make, you know, I need my ideas.
And got a blank sheet of paper and make ideas.
Basically guaranteeing writer's block, basically. Yeah. And it's very, very hard. It's kind of, I mean, the only other good thing I have is find a 6-year-old and describe what you're working on. They come up with some genius stuff. Because they're so far out of frame, or a 10-year-old even. It is funny too, explaining and verbally breaking things down to talk to people, and then, you know, leaving it in the back of your mind too. That can be another good one.
There's some crazy ones out there, and one that I've used over the years is have a piece of paper next to the bed.
Right? Yeah,
and you wake up and then just write it down. Most of the time, I can't read my handwriting in the morning then, but. People put grease pencils in their, or something they can write in the shower with, because you get ideas there. And part of it is that mechanism you're describing, though, is that you get into a state where you're not actively working on a topic or project. You're still got all that information in your head if it's something that it's important to you. And you just have to be available to hear those ideas is the way I describe it. And by listening to music, turn it off, or going for a walk, or taking a shower. And once you get out of that, here's my to-do list for the day, right? I've seen that in free writing. It's like I start writing and it's like, oh, I need to do this, I need to do this, I need to do this, do this. And then I start a whole different structure to the writing. And that's where the ideas come from. And it's exactly what you're describing, I think. And I haven't looked to see if my handwriting changes, but I'm sure it does.
Yeah, yeah. And there's so many good books on it, too. You ever read Think Fast, Thinking Fast and Slow?
Thinking Fast and Slow. It's on my list.
Yeah, by Daniel Kahneman? Kahneman, I think.
Something like that, yeah. Yeah, no, the hard part is that there are brute force methods, right? You can... If you got a problem, this machine broke down, or this design isn't quite working, we can't get it through our verification testing, then there's setting hypothesis, and then what can you measure? But part of it is well, you got to come up with the idea to start with, to what could be a problem. And some of that comes from knowledge and understanding failure mechanisms and understanding how things work and don't work and so on. Yet, I almost immediately put them through filters of, well, how do I test that? How do I measure that? How do I confirm or deny this hypothesis is true? Yeah. So I think creating ideas, there's lots and lots of techniques for it. Have you ever used mind mapping? Speaking of a completely random other tool out there?
No. Right. It sounds familiar, but I mean, I may have somebody may have shown it to me, but I don't recall.
It's put the central question or topic in the middle of the page.
Oh, yes.
And then
yes.
Draw out from that. It's a great way to organize especially complicated things, and especially when the problem has, oh, it's got materials, it's got use cases, it's got assembly problems, it's got design constraints, it's got, you know, functional elements. And so those would be like five different branches off of it. And then I do it on paper because it's so much quicker to draw interactions and draw connections and to circle things and highlight things, and ends up looking like a just absolute scribbled mess. It goes, one of the things, and I'm drawing a complete blank on the guy's name that wrote the book, not Covey, the Getting Things Done, GDT series of books. The big premise to his work is that the human brain is not good for remembering things. He's more talking about productivity and stuff, but ideas are the same way. If we're doing brainstorming and we just five people in the room and we're all, you know, mentioning ideas and bouncing off each other and just mentioning them, but if nobody's recording them, we're very incapable as a human being to remember what all those ideas were. So his premise is get it out of your head, get it on paper, put it down someplace, and then filter it and analyze it and focus it.
Yeah.
And I think a big part of idea generation is just get it out. Just put a seed down. It's like a random number generator for me. If I put a seed of an idea down, then it expands from there. And then it's more of a challenge, and I miss my old boss because he would then down select it and filter it.
Well, there's a lot to be said for partnership of skill sets too, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. And so, to be more practical about creating ideas is, in brainstorming, there's one of the rules is, you know, no idea is a bad idea, no judging. Well, there's a stage for that, right? So I think there's a couple pieces to it. One is to, as you're talking about, Adam, is you have, there's a different mindset about creating ideas versus just getting things done, just focusing on the task at hand. And you have to deliberately practice getting into that mode of thinking, the openness to ideas.
Do you know what's interesting is you're talking about the partnership thing. It's funny, if I think of me and my wife, Beth, how good we've become at complementing each other's skill sets. I mean, it used to be a source of argument, and now it's one of our greatest strengths.
Yeah.
I'm always great with the big ideas. Like, I always do the no bound big ideas. Mm-hmm. I'm like,
let's buy a small 2-seat sports car, notoriously poor maintenance, and drive across the country.
Actually, it's funny you say that. I might be doing that in a week or two. Again.
Oh, in the winter time this time.
Yeah. No, I just found an older Porsche that I'm actually having it inspected professionally tomorrow out there. And then if things go well, I might be doing another one of my crazy road trips.
Oh,
which,
man.
By the way, yeah. 1970, and I love it. But here's the thing, though. If I do, you're going to hear so much about this thing because it is a fascinating rebuild, what they call Resto Mod,
mm-hmm.
where it's basically the community has updated things from 1970 that from a reliability standpoint are improvements but keep the original functionality. So mm-hmm. the whole car is a fascinating study that I'd be excited to talk about in so many different ways. But
if you make it back.
And it's hysterical you say that because that's also our most recent discussion. We sat down, and so I always have these, you know, pie in the sky ideas where I'm like, all right, you know, no holds barred, do this, do that, da da. And she historically is always the very practical, but to the point of like ridiculous constraints. So this, as soon as you have an idea, she thinks of 50 reasons why it doesn't work.
It used to be
a point of contention. I'm like, God damn it, like, stop killing it before I even get it out. And she's like, I'm afraid if I just nod, you're just going to go and do it. She's like, I know you. I know tomorrow that there'll be two Ferraris will show up in the driveway because you had an idea about how to rip them apart and do something. You know, she's like, I can't just look at you and nod. Are you going to take it as a yes? You know,
that's right.
I'm like,
all right.
That's fair. That's happened. But I'm like, that's totally fair. We've come to a point where we figured out this technique where she listens to my ideas. And I know we're in the mode of just her listening, and she gets that she's just listening.
Mm-hmm.
Then she, you know, anyway, I don't have to go through the whole thing, but we figured out this really good technique that comes up with a really good balance, you know.
So instead of a wet blanket being thrown over your ideas and dampening enthusiasms, how about the constraints? How about other priorities? How about, you know, is this really a good, let's vet this idea. Is it really a good idea? What is the criteria?
She had the first, the way it really worked out well, she had to first go with me on the journey of the vision.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, she had mm-hmm. to not list her ideas and just hold them back. She had to actually go to get the full vision with me. And she's like, oh, I get it. I see the benefit. I see the return on investment. I see the blah, blah. And then later on she adds, well, I see these things as our pitfalls. What do you think about those?
Mm-hmm,
da, da, da.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it usually comes up being something really good. And actually, like, yeah, this Porsche, if I do it, was one of those where I've had some insane idea. So I have this idea that I might go out there. It's called Use Case 7 is going to be the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's called Use Case 7. It's where I take different cars or other things, and I become the customer use case that they didn't consider. Right.
So yeah. Again, reinforcing this, I'm not going to let you drive when we get in the car.
The thing is, though, because you usually come up with 6 use cases that are good. And I want to, so that there's been, yeah, exactly.
Sounds like the title of a book, Use Case 7.
Use Case 7. It might become a full article series. We'll see what happens.
Okay.
I'll put it this way. We'll see what Beth says. If Beth says, okay. He's like, I do want to park in my driveway. I'm like, I don't remember seeing that in our vows. But
That's right.
I didn't see anything about the driveway being free.
Well, you got plenty of items you've pushed a bit one way or the other. You definitely do become that. I think there's one of our early podcasts is your creative ways of using a wrench.
Or a drill. Drills have enough mass and a long enough handle to be a significant, you know, applier of force.
Yeah.
But, I just think, some of the car thing is inspired by my dad. My dad was the original Use Case 7. So my dad was born in 1927, and speaking of ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And so he grew up in the Depression, right?
Right.
And so to him, you know, you can imagine versatility, usefulness, you know. So he had like this Nissan Sentra that he'd like load wood in the back of,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, and like the kids were like helping keep it in place between him and the driver's seat. Like we were part of the packaging, you know.
That's right.
Or like he put hay in there or whatever. you know, and then he'd be like, ah, suspension broke. I'm like, really? I'm, you know, and the Nissan dealer's like, what the hell happened? I'm like, guys, and I'm like on the side, I'm like, take a look at all the bark you can see in the trunk.
That's right. You know? That's like, right.
This is my dad is used K7. Like, so, you know, it's kind of, anyway, it's interesting. So, yeah, but and sometimes that kind of rogueness, too, is where good ideas come from. I mean, think of how many things have been invented because of accidents or weird things or trying something stupid.
Yeah, you know, there's lots and lots of YouTube videos about great ideas that they're not capitalized on. And they're just, it's, you know, Funny's Home Videos comes to mind. Kind of the what makes it a great an idea generation, though, is being aware to look for the ideas.
Yeah.
To recognize those opportunities or gaps. And we see this in our clients all the time, is that they're doing all this work. And I says, well, what have you seen so far in your prototypes? Well, we ignore all those because they're just prototypes. Well, wait a second. You know, your story about that robot that ran into the tree and it got the tree trunk, just the right dimension, got stuck in it. And you were like, this is great.
Yeah.
You were available to recognize that as an opportunity. Like, we got to solve this. We need some ideas to fix this thing. When these guys were all looking at, oh, bummer, we ruined the day. It's not working anymore. So I think part of it is, and that's to me, it's one of the functions of an FMEA, is to be prepped for what you're looking for possibilities. And then as you go do product development, build prototypes, do those actually come true or not? Are you looking for what you expect? It's the phenomena where you're merging onto traffic and you don't see the motorcycle because it's not what you were looking for.
Yeah.
Or the bicycle. I've had that happen. Cars pull right out in front of me.
Yeah.
And they look right at you, but they don't see you. So I think part of idea generation is being in a state or a frame that you're able to recognize the ideas. Because they're out there. They're all over the place. And I think part of what we need to do is, in these various tools we've described, is a way to recognize those ideas. And then it's a technique of capturing them and filtering them. And so is Beth available to run a few ideas past?
Yes, she is. She would be happy. She would be happy to. You're gonna have to set up your guidelines though for combat.
That's right. In advance.
Otherwise, she'll shoot them down quicker than you can come up with them. It's a sport. Okay. It's like duck hunting.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, that might be the ultimate vet for your ideas out there. So.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. So anyway, if you've got some ideas, and we kind of want a handful of different tools, and there's any of those that don't resonate with you, or you didn't know what that was, you'd like us to go in some more depth on, let us know. Head over to ascendoreliability.com/go/SOR and join the conversation. We'd love to hear from you. So, Adam, any ideas on how to wrap up this episode?
If you don't mind, I'm gonna just do some free writing and then I'll get back to you.
Okay.
There we go.
All right. So you're on for the next show to close it then. All right.
Fantastic.
Sounds good, Adam. Talk to you later.
All right. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Speaking of Reliability. We invite you to join the conversation if you have a question or a topic that you think we should discuss in a future show. Please let us know. You can find a comment box below the episode show notes, or just leave a note as part of a review on iTunes.